Hurricane season is here, so let's see if we can quickly brush up and protect ourselves and save loads of money to boot. So I've asked Kim Langford, a contributing editor for Kiplinger's Personal Finance, who's an expert on this stuff, to join me today. Hey, welcome to the show, Kim.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Hurricane season always begins June 1st, runs to November as well, and multiple major hurricanes are always likely to occur. Let's talk about some ways to prepare. Where do we need to start thinking about?
Well, first of all, find out about what type of wind mitigation you can do to your own home, or find out if you're buying a new home, what has been done already. Because first of all, not only will that protect your home enormously, but it could really make a huge difference in the price of your homeowner's insurance. In fact, a house without wind mitigation features in a hurricane-prone area may end up costing about 400% of the cost of one that does have wind mitigation. Could be about four times different.
What makes up wind mitigation items? What are we talking about?
Well, there's all kinds of things that they call it fortifying your home. And it really is anything that's really keeping the wind out. They call it like keeping it in an envelope, very tightly protected. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things are when you're changing your roof, steps that you can take. For example, they say instead of using regular nails, use certain kind of nails called ring shank nails that are much harder for the wind to get under and pull apart.
Mm-hmm.
And to have three layers on your roof, very tight layers with a very, weatherproof membrane and weather-resistant tiles or shingles on the very top. All of those things, step by step, can really help keep that wind out and protect your house.
Okay, good. I also understand there's something called a Homes Clue Report, C-L-U-E, Comprehensive Loss Underwriting Exchange. Leave it to insurance companies and lawyers to figure out a name like that. But we're going to call it the Clue Report. What is that?
Well, and this is a great thing, no matter where you're buying a house, to check out what the claims history is on your home. And so you can find out, when you're buying a new home, find out whether the person had any hurricane damage in the past, or any other types of damage, whether it was water damage, to find out ahead of time whether this is a type of home that has propensity to have water damage that's caused a lot of insurance claims.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to know. So check out the Clue Report. And generally, if you're buying a house, you're going to have to request this from the buyer and their real estate agent. But it's really important.
A buyer can't go out and get it themselves, but a homeowner can. So you want to request it.
Right. And your real estate agent can usually request it from the selling agent.
Right. Gotcha. So how viable is shopping around for home insurance? Are the price differentials big enough?
They can be enormous. And the thing is, it depends on what state you're in. I mean, in Florida, a lot of the wind mitigation steps that you take have required discounts. So insurers are supposed to give you pretty much standard discounts for certain wind mitigation features.
Mm-hmm.
In other states, the results can vary enormously. So some insurers may give you, a very large discount for storm shutters, for example, while another insurer may not give you quite as much. So it's really important to shop around both for homeowners insurance as well as flood coverage. And flood coverage, after Hurricane Harvey, people realize how important that is to have flood coverage. Flooding is not covered by homeowners insurance, but you can get flood coverage from the National Flood Insurance Program.
Mm-hmm.
But in many states, such as Florida, there's a growing private flood insurance marketplace too. So it's a really good idea to see not only whether you can get the federal flood coverage, but to compare the prices and coverage to private options too. And you can go on your state insurance department website, and they generally will show you a list of companies providing homeowners insurance as well as private flood coverage in your area.
Okay, cool. They have a rate comparison tool that I understand is very good. Starting around June 1st, in my own mailbox, I received a lot of advertisements promoting flood insurance. So I guess that area is expanding as well. And of course, they're picking the perfect time to remind me, which I think is in their best interest and maybe as well as mine. We're going down a list here. So should we be looking at an insurer's complaint record before we purchase any insurance from one of them?
That is a very, very good step to take. And especially if you're in an area that tends to have a lot of natural disasters. If you're in a hurricane-prone area where people have had a lot of claims, it's a really good idea to see how that insurance company stacks up in terms of fulfilling those claims.
Yeah.
Whether people are going to have to wait a long time, whether they have a lot of complaints, whether they've had good communication with the insurer. and also whether they feel they've gotten a fair settlement from the insurer in terms of replacing their items that were damaged. A lot of times you might see a company that has a really low premium, but before you jump on that, make sure that they're not a company that has a reputation of hassling people at claim time, because that could defeat the whole purpose of paying those insurance premiums.
Yeah, because if they're lowballing their insurance premium, they're probably not building up adequate reserves, and then they'll have to manage the payout on the other end of the scale. And you know what? If you get hit by a hurricane and you've got damage, you really don't want to be put in that position. So I'm not saying that low prices always mean bad service, but you know, you kind of get what you pay for. Use your better common sense with regards to that.
And a good thing is it's really easy to look up your insurer's complaint record. You can go to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners website. It's NAIC.org/CIS, which is the consumer information source. And you can look up property and casualty is where you'll find auto and homeowners insurance complaints. And they have it on a scale to show whether it's higher than average, lower than average, or right on target, and some more details as well. So a great resource.
My guest is Kim Langford. She is the contributing editor for Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Kim, let's talk about the deductible, that, you know, seven-letter word. I don't know how many actual letters are in the word deductible. my producer is counting right now. Six? Eight. Okay. Ten. Okay. Never mind. Just wasted 10 seconds of precious time. The windstorm coverage and deductible, 2%, 5%. What's that all about? What can we do about that, if anything?
Well, one good thing is that a lot of areas where it was difficult to get homeowners insurance in the past now do provide homeowners insurance, you know, in some of these more, you know, hurricane-prone areas. However, for the windstorms, for any damages from hurricanes or windstorms, they now have you pay a much higher deductible. So instead of your standard $500 or $1,000 deductible that you might have on your home insurance, any damage from windstorms may have, you know, a 2% or a 5% deductible, and that's a 2 or 5% of your total coverage amount. So, you know, if you have a $300,000 policy and a 2% hurricane deductible, you'd have to pay $6,000 out of your pocket before your insurance would cover any hurricane damage. And a lot of times this is just a way that you can, you know, get that coverage from a regular insurer. However, just be prepared. Keep some extra money in your emergency fund to be able to cover those expenses, because you will have to pay them if you have hurricane damage before that insurance is going to kick in.
Yeah, you mentioned 2% of $300,000. 5% of $300,000 is $15,000, so that could cost you quite a bit. However, remember that insurance is really for catastrophic types of things, whether it's life insurance or health insurance. You know, it makes sense to have a fairly big deductible because you're really protecting your assets and your income from catastrophic occurrences. But 5% is pretty significant for a lot of people. They're not going to have $15,000 or $25,000 necessarily sitting around in their bank account to cover those losses.
And it's just important to do that math ahead of time so you don't have a big surprise.
That's right.
And also know about some other things that might not be covered by your insurance that might lead to out-of-pocket expenses. If you have trees down, for example, if it does damage to your house, that'll usually be covered. But the cost to remove the trees may not be covered or may have a very low cap, like $500 or so. So just find out about some of those things that you may have to pay out of your own pocket, and just make sure, especially during hurricane season, that your emergency fund has some of that money in there in case you do have to pay those costs. But like you said, it's really important to have those big things, the tens of thousands of dollars, even hundreds of thousands of dollars of coverage on the large end to help rebuild your house. That's the really important part.
We've talked about a lot of stuff on this segment. So to hear this again, listen to the full show, or get a summary of all the vital lessons learned here today, go to stevepomerantz.com. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly update where we will send you these important lessons from the show straight into your inbox. Kim Langford, contributing editor for Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Hey, Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.